We've been looking at the subject of heaven, and I've really been enjoying meditating upon this subject and reading into it and digging into scriptures and just seeing actually what the Bible says about heaven. And specifically, as a church and for us as Christians, I think it's so healthy to have a heavenly perspective on life, because often actually talking about heaven isn't just, you know, oh dear, we're all going to die, but actually one day we are going to die, but it's about living life to the full here, knowing that actually all the stuff that we see around us, eventually everything decays, everything goes to dust, everything really has a time span. But in heaven, it's for eternity, it's for forever, and that's our our homeland. We spoke about us being aliens, just passing through this world, that our citizenship is in heaven. So yes, we appeared here upon the earth, but actually we belong in heaven. That's where ultimately our home is. We talked about how everything that we desire and love is precious. Our Heavenly Father is in heaven. Our Savior is in heaven. That all those loved ones that have been in Christ, they're in heaven. We're going to see them again. Parents, husbands, wives, children, those that we miss, they're in heaven. We're going to be with them again. I mean, that's an amazing thing to celebrate. And we also spoke that there is a great reward for us in heaven. And it says, even when you suffer persecution, there's a greater reward in heaven waiting for you. So really, heaven should be, and I want to kind of encourage this and really focus us, that heaven should be something that inspires us to follow Jesus, no matter what the cost, because something wonderful is waiting for us. As I said, heaven is not an afterthought, and it's not the booby prize. Heaven is what God is saving for us. The best till last is waiting for us. And so let it be an let's be inspired by heaven. Let's, you know, when times get tough, when things get difficult, let's determine never to give up, to keep pressing on for the upward call that is in Christ Jesus. And in 2 Corinthians, I read this last week, but 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8. And this is Paul's heart. He says that we are afflicted, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not despairing. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, that the life of Jesus may also be manifest in our body. So what he's saying here is that it's tough. Sometimes life does throw curveballs at us, doesn't it? You need to agree or disagree, one or the other. Please help me. It's quite scary standing up in front of you all, and because you're looking at me, but I'm looking at all of your faces. So if someone could smile, that would be nice. Yes, thank you. Sometimes life does, you know, throw things at us, doesn't it, that are difficult. But he says in verse 16 of that chapter, but we do not lose heart. In spite of all of this, the outer man is decaying, but the inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comprehension or comparison. In other words, what we go through here upon this earth is nothing is nothing. Even the most beautiful thing. Anybody like scuba diving here? Oh my goodness. Nobody likes scuba diving. I love scuba diving because it's the nearest thing that I can get to flying without actually going up into the sky. You put on the wetsuit and you put on your tank and then you swim out and you know the ground dips away and but you just carry on over the precipice and you just look at it and it's just beautiful. I mean, you go there and the colors are vivid and the things that you see and the fish and the coral and the wow, it's just coral. My mother-in-law, not my mother-in-law, but no, it's absolutely amazing. I mean, the most beautiful sight that you've ever seen in this world, whatever it is just a glimpse, because just a glimpse of what heaven is going to be like, because this world is decaying, but heaven is for eternity. And actually where heaven is, where God is, everything is completely as God intended it to be. So, amazing. Absolutely amazing. So many times when I read Paul's letters, he talks about, he has a vision of the eternal, setting his heart and his mind on eternity. Guys, if we just set our sights upon our situation and what we're going through, we're going to be very, very soon and very, very quickly discouraged and demoralized. But when we set our minds on eternity, wow, it's amazing, because that's where God wants us to keep our focus. Have an eternal perspective. We endure whatever the world has to give us because we know there is a greater weight of glory to come in eternity. So Paul is saying that he's a man who's longing for heaven. He's looking. He says, well, you know, whether for me to die is gain, doesn't he? For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. So, you know, whatever happens, I win, he says. For me to live, it's all about Jesus. And if I die, it's an even greater promotion to heaven. Amazing. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 22. Paul says this, that set a seal, God has set a seal of ownership on us and put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Paul calls the Holy Spirit a promise and a pledge. And there's a Greek word for that, which is called arabon, which means an engagement ring. It's a promise and a pledge to you. Do you know, when you received Jesus Christ and you received of his spirit, you received his Holy Spirit, you received God's pledge and God's promise of new life, but eternal life as well. It's that pledge, that arabon, is like it's God is saying, indicating that one day his church is going to be his bride. And actually what he's saying is that you and him are connected in a relationship, that one day God is going to fulfill that, and the church is going to be restored as his bride, the bride of Christ. Absolutely amazing. That word arabon means it's like a down payment, a first installment, an engagement ring. There's a few people that have got engaged. Well, it's a couple, two people. Emmeline's got engaged. Did you know that? Let's hope it's not a secret. No, it's not. And so it was on Facebook. She was there with the ring. And Sarah and Graham have got engaged. And I mean, when you get engaged, you like to show the ring, don't you, girls? Yes? Wow, look. Do you know the Holy Spirit is like that for us? Holy Spirit is God's pledge, God's promise, God's connection with us. And actually, it's a promise of God's assurance of our immortality and our access into heaven. That God would send us his Holy Spirit, not just so that we could be filled with power now while we're upon this earth, but it's a promise of what is to come in the future. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9 says, and we know that this is a very well-known scripture, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has seen what God has prepared for those that love him. And that's an interesting verse because some people will say, well, if no eye has seen, how can we know what heaven is like? And maybe we shouldn't talk about heaven. Because if God actually wanted us to know, he would have given us greater revelation. But if you read in verse 10 on from that, it says, but God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. So naturally, no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, no mind that has perceived what heaven is like. But then it goes on to say that actually it's the Spirit, talking of the Spirit, it's the Spirit that gives us an understanding of what heaven is going to be like. And so I was just thinking about this, and you know, in one sense, the more that we fellowship with the Holy Spirit, the more that we ask him to reveal to us the deep things of the Spirit, the more, in one sense, that we are going to know of heaven while we're living upon this earth. We want greater intimacy with the Holy Spirit to lead to greater revelation of Jesus and therefore of heaven. Because that's the Holy Spirit's job, isn't it? It's to reveal and to magnify and to focus us upon Jesus. Second Corinthians 5 verses 6 and 8. Says, therefore, we are always confident that we know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, I would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. And that's an amazing perspective to live with. Not holding on to the world that we live in, but having a longing for heaven and to be in God's presence. Can you see there? There's a word there. As we are at, what does it say there? As we are at what? As long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith. And I would prefer to be away from the Lord and at, what does it say? At home with the Lord. So our home is heaven, not here upon the earth. If we're going to be heavenly minded and we're going to long for heaven, we've got to know a little bit about it. So we'll have some kind of thing to pull us that way. Now, I want just to share a little bit about heaven. The Old Testament word for heaven is Shomayin, which means the heights. And the New Testament word for heaven is Uranus, which is where we get the planet Uranus from, which means that which is raised up. That's the different terms. And you, in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 2, Paul said, didn't he, that he was caught up into the third heaven. You've heard that scripture. So the term heaven is something that is meaning high and raised up. So when we are looking up into the sky, we're looking up into heaven. But you know, our eyes can only go so far. Our physical eyes can only go so far. And when he said that he was caught up into heaven, into the third heaven, he was talking about different classifications of heaven, the physical heaven, the heavens that the natural world that we can see, but also the spiritual heaven. So the first heaven is called the atmospheric heaven. That's the immediate place around us. That's the air that we breathe. So the Bible sometimes calls that heaven. It's the place that's lifted up. So, but that we can see that in our natural, with our natural eyes. It's the atmosphere we breathe. It's our environment in which we live. And it's pretty clear that there are scriptures that talk about that heaven. In Isaiah 55, verse 9, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher. So are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts, your thoughts. There's, and it goes on to say, for as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, I don't think I included, or that's not in that translation, but it says that as, for as the rain and the snow come down from heaven. So it's talking about that first heaven, that heaven that we see around us. It says that they don't return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Psalm 147, do we have that? I don't know if I've got that on there. Oh, yeah. He covers the sky with clouds. He supplies the earth with rain and makes the grass grow on the hills. So in some translations, it would also talk about heaven. Also, if you go back to in Genesis, it says, God says that let there be light in the expanse of the heavens. Let there be lights. And what he meant was that he was going to put two lights, two great lights in the sky. One to govern the day and the lesser to govern by night. And it says that he also made stars. And God placed them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on earth. So now he's talking about the area of space, as it were, that where the planets are and where the stars are. That's the psalmist refers to that as heaven as well. So we could say that was the second heaven. So the first heaven is what we can see around us, the air that we breathe, the environment, the things that we can see with our natural eyes. The second heaven is, in one sense, where the planets are and where the stars are. And then we go into talking about the third heaven, which is, in one sense, where the place where God dwells, where his holy angels are, and where he dwells in a place where they're worshiping him. But equally, I was reading in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 16, because God does live there, but equally the Bible says, what agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Isn't it amazing to know that there is a place called heaven where God lives, but equally, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And that God lives in you, doesn't he? By his presence, by his spirit. Fully, God is living in you as well. So God's presence isn't just limited to where he is in heaven. We all know and we understand that God lives in the lives and the hearts of believers as well. So God does also make his habitation in us, but it's by his spirit that it's possible. God's presence isn't limited to just to his reign in heaven. But in Isaiah 57, verse 15, for this is what the high and lofty one says, he who lives forever, whose name is holy, I will live in a high and holy place, but also with him who is contrite and lowly in spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly, and to revive the heart of the contrite. And it is the heaven that we are thinking about where God's reign and rule is in one respect. Yes, he's here. He does reign and rule in our hearts. But it's a place where there is worship and adoration and focus and praise and the elders and the angels and the heavenly creatures. It's just awesome to think that that place is in some way we are going to be participators in that. In the Sermon of the Mount, heaven is mentioned a lot. And I just went through Matthew, actually. Matthew 6, in the Lord's Prayer, God talks about heaven. Does he want us to know about heaven? Yes, he does. Matthew 7, he talks about the way to heaven. Matthew 8, he talks about those that will inherit heaven. Matthew 9 talks about the intimacy of heaven. Matthew 10 talks about the message of the kingdom. Matthew 11 talks about the amazing promises of heaven. Matthew 12, Jesus describes his true family as being those that are going to be in where? Help me out. In heaven. Yeah. Amazing. There are so many different verses that I could pick out. But as I read the Bible and I go through and meditate and focus in upon heaven, it seems to me that Jesus wants us to understand, for us to understand about heaven, because that's where he set his heart. That was where he set his focus on. Now, I want you to understand that heaven is a real place. It's a place where God lives, and it's the place where Christ, the Bible says, came from. It's not a figment of our imagination. Heaven is not going to be a feeling. Heaven is not an emotion. Because we have different ideas about, don't we? What's it gonna be like? Heaven is a place. It's God's place. It's where God lives. It's a place of holiness, a place of harmony. It's a place of joy. It's a place of peace. It's a place of holiness. It's a place of love and a place of fulfillment. Doesn't that sound amazing? Everything that God intended actually this world to be is going to be restored in heaven. Everything. And, you know, in some way, I think God does actually give us glimpses of heaven. The Bible talks about that. And, you know, when you got saved and you met with God for the first time and you experience, or those times where you experience just an outpouring of God's love and God's grace. You know what those times of just great intimacy and those times of just being in awe of God. That's a glimpse of heaven. That's what heaven's going to be like. Just a glimpse. I mean, they're pretty awesome for us, aren't they? Feeling for the first time, actually, yeah, I'm forgiven, I'm washed, I'm cleansed. All of the guilt and the stuff that has been a problem to me, now that's been wiped. Wow, that sense of just being set free. That's what heaven's going to be like. But you are only experiencing it in this natural world. When we get to heaven, it's going to be awesome. The fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, patience, peace, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Those are characteristics of what heaven is going to be like. And we've been transformed by that, haven't we? By God's Spirit working in us. But that's only just a taste of what heaven's going to be like. We were in darkness, now we've come into the kingdom of light. We're no longer under the power and the influence of Satan. We're under the lordship of Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Have you got that one? Don't worry if you haven't. It says, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We're new creations. We're members of a new family. We're no longer in the family that we were once in. We are children of God. We are children of a new place. Heaven is going to be awesome. And even better than that, you get to spend eternity with me. And actually, I get to spend eternity with you as well. John 16, verse 33. I've only got a couple more scriptures. John 16, 33. Do you have that? Okay, there's some good news. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I've overcome the world. Or in another translation, it says, be of good cheer. Yes. Good news. Wonderful things are going to happen. God's on our case. Like Andrew said, everything actually is stacked for us, not against us. John 14, verse 1 says, Stop letting your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Listen to this. In my Father's house, there is more than enough room. If it were not so, I would have told you, but I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. You know, you may be here this morning, struggling, feeling with all different thoughts and emotions, but I want to say and encourage you, be of good cheer. Jesus is preparing a place for you. The moving day is not today, but there will be a moving day into that place that God has prepared for you. But until that time, let's encourage one another to meditate upon the truth. You know, Peter brought a word about God's promises from cover to cover being those things that we can put our faith and our hope in. Let's meditate upon those truths. Let's meditate upon the promises of God. Jesus wants us to be with him forever. He wants us to be with him forever so that we can see his glory and the glory of his Father. Now, I want to end just by reading a page or so from this book called Heaven, which is by a theologian, American theologian called Randy Alcorn. They don't have names like that in England, do they? There you go. So I'm going to read this. Is that all right? If it's not, I'm going to read it anyway. But it's just 1.5 pages. And I've been reading the book and meditating upon it. But I just love the way that he puts it. He's a theologian that actually writes in a language that people can understand, which is very helpful to simple people like me. Colossians 3 verse 1 says, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. He says, this is a direct command to set our hearts on heaven and to make sure that we don't miss the importance of a heaven-centered life. The next verse says, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. God commands us to set our hearts and minds on heaven. Listen to this. To long for Christ is to long for heaven. For that is where you will be with him. God's people are longing for a better country, Hebrews 11, 16 says. We cannot set our eyes on Christ without setting our eyes on heaven. And we cannot set our eyes on heaven without setting our eyes on Christ. Still, it is not only Christ, but the things above that we are to set our minds on. The Greek word translated set your hearts is zetio, which means a man's general search and quest. The same word is used to describe when the Bible says that the Son of Man came to seek that which was lost, Luke 19. That same word is also used to describe how a shepherd looks for his sheep. It's the same word that was used in Luke 15 when talked about a woman searching for the lost coin. You know that scripture. The same word that's used for the merchant who searches for the fine pearls. Search. It's a diligent, active, single-minded investigation. So what Paul is saying is his diligently, actively, single-mindedly pursue things above. In a word, heaven. And the verb is to go on continually seeking. So it means don't just have a conversation. Don't just listen to a message. Don't just read a book. But seek. Seek. Continually look for. Diligently go after. Let me just read this final bit. Perhaps you're afraid of being so heavenly minded that you're of no earthly good. Relax. You have nothing to worry about. On the contrary, many of us are so earthly minded that we are no heavenly or earthly good. C.S. Lewis observed this. He said, if you read history, you will find that the Christians who did the most for the present world were just those that thought most of the next. The apostles themselves who set on foot the conversion of the Roman Empire, the great men who built up the Middle Ages, the English evangelicals who abolished the slave trade, all left their mark on earth precisely because their minds were occupied with heaven. It is since Christians have largely ceased to think about the other world that they have become so ineffective in this. Aim at heaven. Listen to this. I'll finish with this. Aim at heaven and you will get earth thrown in. Aim at earth and you'll get nothing. Or you'll get neither. Just a quote from C.S. Lewis. Most of us find it difficult to want heaven at all, except insofar as heaven means meeting friends who have died. One reason for this difficulty is that we've not been trained, and our whole education tends to fix our minds on this world. Another reason is that we want a real heaven that is present in us, but we don't recognize it. I want to encourage you to say, let's aim for heaven. Let's keep our eyes fixed upon heaven. Let's pursue heaven. Let's persevere because of the hope that we have in heaven waiting for us. Let's not give up. Let's carry on. Let's dream big because we know that there's a great reward coming. And as we set our eyes on heaven, we're also going to see God do great things here upon the earth in our lives and in our church and in our town and in our community. Next week, I'm going to do one more talk about heaven, and I'm going to touch upon a new heaven and a new earth and some of the things that we can and we can't do in heaven. What will happen there? What's heaven going to be like? Just going to be amazing. So make sure you're here. Because the Bible's got some great insights for us. Actually, Alex Achukere was saying to me, do you know that there's no surfing in heaven? I said, what do you mean? He said, because the Bible says that there's no sea in heaven. And you can read that. So there you go. Whether heaven will just be so wonderful that we will be just surfing on the rivers, I don't know. Just don't tell Andrew Selly that, okay? Because he'll be very upset that there's no surfing. Who knows? Maybe there is surfing. Let's pray, shall we? Father, thank you so much for the hope, Lord, that you've given to us. Lord, the hope that we have in knowing that we have an eternal life because, yes, of salvation, but, Lord, also you've given us of your Holy Spirit, the promise of what is to come. Father, thank you for, Lord, the great reward that we have. Thank you for the delights that you've got stored up for us. Thank you for the wonders. Thank you for the breathtaking experiences that we're going to have, not just being near you, but Lord, in this most amazing environment that you're going to place us into. I pray, Father, that you would just work in us, Lord, and banish and crush any fear of death that we may have, or the fear of the unknown. And Lord, that in our hearts we would just burn with a desire and a love for you. And know, Lord God, that you have everything planned out, everything taken care of. You go ahead and prepare a place for us. Lord, that in you we are secure. And Lord, knowing that whatever we go through on this in this life, Lord God, we want to see it in the reflection and in the balance of what heaven has for us. I pray, Father, that you would strengthen those today that are feeling in some way weak or discouraged, that you would encourage them, build them up, Lord God. I pray, Father, for every single person here, that each of us would be so inspired and so excited, Lord God, about the plans you have for our lives and, Lord, our eternal home. God, that we would have a deeper level of worship and of love and of obedience to you. Stir us up, Father, I pray. Stir us up, Holy Spirit. Stir us up to see a different aspect and a different way of living with a heavenly perspective and a hope of eternity. And so, Father, I pray you just take these few words, Father, and work something in us. And I give you thanks, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.